Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
WWE Network goes to Peacock. NXT UK asks, please, can I have some Satomura? And who will have to point to a sign for 8 weeks like a geek as we preview the Royal Rumble? This is Shake Them Ropes. I am Jeff Hawkins, joined as always by Chris Novembrino and, of course, Bobo the Wonder Monkey on the board. How are you doing, Chris?
I am doing great. I was just taking a look at some of our fatty Bo Batty returns on GameStop and other assorted stocks. Bobo is good when it comes to doing these stocks. They say stocks are so easy a monkey could do it. Bobo proved that this week.
Bobo put in his notice.
He's going to Hartford University. He's going to be a smart monkey.
I'm a little saddened today. Some news coming across the wire. Toys R Us shuttering their last two locations. And that feels like a part of my childhood die.
I remember you took it pretty rough when Blockbuster shut down that one last location in Alaska. I couldn't reach you for a week.
Come on, man. No, I liked Blockbuster, but Toys R Us, man, as a kid, like when I was a kid, and it was about 25 minutes away from where I lived, and in that shopping center was, I believe, let's see, Hampton, Virginia. It's Toys R Us, the TJ Maxx, which I didn't want to ever go into, and they put the Chuck E. Cheese next door to that, the only Chuck E. Cheese in the area, and then for a while you had Po' Folks in there too, which is fantastic. But when I was younger, because I am slightly older than you, Chris, the great joy of going into the Toys R Us and the wall of Atari 2600 and later 5200 video games, and the paper tickets. And the paper tickets were strewn all over the floor because someone would want a video game. Bob, can I have this? No, you need to put that. So you drop it on the floor so it looked like the New York Stock Exchange on Saturdays sometimes due to all the children and the parents, you know, ripping off tickets because you had to take the ticket to the window to pick up the security area to pick up the video game after purchasing it.
Oh, what a great marketing strategy that is, though. You get the paper ticket in the kids' hands, and now it's like a virus. Now they're just infected with the Jones for the video game. I got to have it.
Yeah, and it was awesome. You'd always look at, there'd always be that one game that, you know, you had to buy like six controllers for just to play the game. And it was like, at the time, $100, which is like $1 million to a six-year-old. And I also, when I finally started making a little bit more money at working in legal administration, I'd take part of my Christmas bonus every year. I'd buy, you know, $500 to $1,000 worth of toys at Toys R Us here in Burbank, and I'd give it to this Santa organization for people. But just, and going into Toys R Us at Christmas, you know, you think, I mean, they're the days you can go in there and just go, gosh, I miss being a kid at Christmas. But there are also the days where you just see the worst of it with crying children, and you see parents, okay, you take him to this side of the store and I'm going to get this stuff so he doesn't notice and stuff like that. You get the both the good and the bad. And I don't know. I never imagined a world without Toys R Us. It's so weird.
So where do kids go? Well, obviously you don't go anywhere these days to look
Amazon.
At toys. Yeah, I guess you just go online and shop for them. But there is really something about seeing the entirety of the Star Wars action figure
yes!
collection there.
Yes,
or,
the wall of
or
Star Wars
judging
figures.
And hating on the quality of the store by being like, wow, this store doesn't even carry Boba Fett or whatever. You know, you have the, oh, they don't even have the Millennium Falcon. Like, you know, the other KB Toys has Slave One. You can actually see it there. This store doesn't.
I wish I could get all the way up to the top of that Star Wars display and see what figures are in the back there, because maybe the Bossk I'm looking for is in that one.
You think that there's like a secret cache of the really good ones, and there might have well been. For
there
all
probably were. That's where all the employees were hiding the ones that they wanted. You know it's true.
I do regret, like, I have a fair amount of Boba Fett stuff. I regret not having Bossk stuff. I might need to start. Now you might have started me down something. But I feel the Bossk market. No, okay. So here's the thing. Like, Boba Fett, I collected all this stuff before Mandalorian. So, like, the value of my collection has gone up, like, a stupid amount to the point where it's almost not fun to wear the shoes anymore. Because, like, the shoes I have are too expensive now. They weren't that expensive when I bought them. Bossk. I could collect that stuff.
I was always looking for, like,
the Bossk
Dengar.
Market is not going to... Yeah, Dengar. Dengar, really Dengar?
No, who's the other guy? The guy that looked like a spider.
Because I mean,
had,
I like IG-88. Yeah, I'm an IG-88 guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I some Bossk stuff would be really cool. I like all the...
spider. He looked like, kind of like a fly head. I can't remember his name. Dengar looked like the guy who just got triaged for... But he had like a tree falling on his head, and he had to go to the
room. He looks like he's in like medical wraps. They're like, no, he's a really great bounty hunter. I'm like, he looks like he just got out of the hospital for
he
like
just,
the fourth
he looks
time.
Like he's the lose. He looks like he's the losing bounty hunter. That's what he looks like. Oh, we gotta talk wrestling. Damn. So WWE Network is no more. The NBC. Streaming service Peacock Network, folding them in for 5 years, $200 million a year. Vince McMahon failing upwards as usual. This is why the two people who joined the SPAC, Michelle, I'm going to say Ramos and Garrios, but I can't remember their names right now, and I should have them written down because I was going to talk about this. I am convinced that the two people who quit WWE, whose the network was their baby, I'm convinced that the SPAC that they formed was to buy the WWE network. That's the weird thing. Because I think they thought this was a big moneymaker for them, and they're wrong, because Vince gave up on this dumb thing.
Yeah, he stopped. Yeah, no, I was involved, not directly inside of the company, but externally in a direct way, in the launching of this network, and I can recall when the network just kind of, it went from being the hot new thing that they were going to try to advance out, and that they were bringing in new products, and they were cleaning out stuff, and they were always getting new things, and new archival stuff needed to be captioned in a timely manner. And then we have arrived. I remember having to do the Stampede thing a couple. Remember when they brought in the Stampede wrestling stuff?
Oh, yeah, for the few moments that Bret Hart and they were talking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, George Berrios and Michelle Wilson. Those were the names I was trying to think of off the top of my head. I apologize. So,
I remember all of this. And I remember the mood very vividly coming from the organization. For a couple of years, but really in particular in that first year, they really thought they were onto something. And I think a lot of us thought they were kind of sort of onto something as well, with some reservations about what was happening to pay-per-view revenue, and that perhaps they had been abandoning the pay-per-view element of this a little too soon. To keep it simple, they lost a ton of pay-per-view revenue up front, and it took them a long time to recoup it, and they were always kind of fuzzy about what the network subscriptions were to WWE Network. And they offered a lot of free subscriptions along the way here. But towards the end of this, it really just became a vehicle for them to do these quote-unquote network events. Everything else on the network has really felt like watch-it-if-you-want-to viewing. There's nothing on the network that you can't live without. They never started writing the main roster product in a way where you absolutely had to have the network. I mean, I guess you do for the pay-per-views. But with the exception of that, you know, all the others, you know, occasionally be like, hey, this is a good Talking Smack episode. Or, you know, they've got a new 24-style documentary thing. I forget what they call theirs. But, you know, none of that stuff's essential
Chronicle
viewing.
Chronicle or the Day Chronicle. Of and all those other things, yeah.
And you remember when, for a while, like, Talking Smack was a hot thing that you wanted to
yes.
track out and seek out on the network. There was mm-hmm. a lot of stuff on the network that was, it was not must-see, but it was like, you'd go on the Reddit boards, and the Reddit boards would be buzzing about what was going on Talking Smack on the network. So you wanted to make sure you had the network fired up on your computer so you could switch over to that after Raw. Sometimes that'd be yeah. better than Raw.
Well, NXT was the hot, I mean, from that first episode, it was like, oh man, this is fresh. It feels like a good wrestling show. You know, this was, you know, the start of the rise of the horsewomen at that time when Charlotte had first come in, and, you know, you had Sami Zayn, and yeah, this is Brandon Thurston's porn type stuff. He's making the rounds right now. So please listen to WrestleNomics on Voices of Wrestling Network. He will break this down into the finest details and deconstruct it if you're into that sort of thing. I was shocked by Nick Khan's kind of spin on this, because here's what's going to be the deal. If you're basically going to have your membership converted, but Peacock already is free in terms of the ad tier for certain cable customers, and then for ads it's $4.99, and then for no ads it's $9.99 for things. It's very interesting because the streaming wars are so fragmented at this point that I don't think anybody really wants to join any service, because it's all about watching reruns of like one sitcom on stuff.
Yeah, like, no, they've really screwed themselves in this sense. It's now more expensive to have these streaming services than it was back in the day to have cable. And there was a sweet spot about 10 years ago where you could like transition over to Netflix and maybe
yes.
have one other thing, and it was like $20 a month. And like, you went from having a cable bill that was like $50 to $70 a month to having $20 a month of viewable television and stuff. Now, in my opinion, Netflix is kind of a hard service to navigate through. It's not that there's nothing good on it, but there is a lot of, I would call it, filler product put on to Netflix, and there's no easy way to kind of shuck out the filler product. And similarly with like Amazon, the Disney Network, yeah, there's a couple of good things on each one of these things, and that's it. I tried to do the CBS network because I wanted to watch Star Trek Picard. That was great. And then when I got done with Star Trek Picard, I was like, well, I did pay $10 for this month. What else is on here? Jeff, I couldn't find a single thing, so I just went to
cancel. Did you watch The Good Wife?
I did not, sir.
Okay,
sir, I did not.
You seem like a Good Wife kind of guy, Chris Novembrito.
You know what I'm on right now is I'm on The 100, but that's a different topic
okay.
for a different
no,
time.
No, I know what that. I know. I'm aware of that show, even though
it's not
bad. Like science fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, NBC pays $1 billion to get about 1.1 million viewers coming to their network and hoping they stick around. They've also, interestingly enough, NBC Sports, the tier that they, or the channel that they wanted to compete with ESPN in many ways, is shuttering by the end of the year. So really what they're doing is going the opposite way. They're taking off channels and trying to bring people into their streaming service in hopes that they will find other things to keep them motivated to stay. The money quote for me, though, and also, just before I go into that, remember that NBC, and this is their entire family of networks as well, that they're trying to drive in there. So they're also using like USA Network to drive viewers into Peacock and whatnot. But here's the money quote for me from Nick Khan, who is, I want him to make my deals because he's obviously got a silver tongue in some ways. But he goes, the challenge was growing it from where we are. Nick Khan, president of World Wrestling Entertainment, Inc., said in an interview, it's tough to get people who aren't fans to sample a product when you have to subscribe to see it. Chris, how many hours of WWE programming are on cable in a given week?
My eyes are like dazzled from this argument right now.
Yes, the reason why WrestleMania wasn't growing viewers is, you know, people just can't
people could see wrestling.
People can't find the WWE anywhere on Monday or Wednesday or Friday or specials on the Fox Network.
Hawkins,
Sundays.
They would love this stuff if only they could see it somewhere.
It's just so hidden, Chris. It's like playing hide and seek. Where aware, Chris, could I ever watch World Wrestling Entertainment? If only there was a channel that had it on since 1993.
The same channel. The same channel.
With the exception of the short sojourn over to the Nashville network. Yes. But I just went, the balls on this man to say that people can't find World Wrestling Entertainment. That's why they're not sampling it. And now on Peacock, it will be far more accessible. If I ever am able to negotiate a contract from which I will be bought out, Nick Khan is my man.
Boy, that's just, it's one heck of an argument. Like, and I think the trick with these sorts of things is you got to start from the complete opposite premise. Like what we just discussed there. No one can see wrestling. It's a hard thing to find. No one knows where to find it anymore.
Oh. Miko Satomura, official for NXT UK. Oh, the joy in Jeff's heart because the video montage on
NXT UK.
What
a great
UK
video montage.
Week, yes, from her time in the Mae Young Classic. She's going to be set up for Kaylee Ray. I am here for that. She is going to be training the women in NXT UK. I want her to make Xia Brookside a killer. I want to send Aaliyah over there to become a killer. I want to send Jessie Camilla over there to do something with her after.
I kind of like Jessie Camilla. Yeah, yeah, no. I
like her, but she just, there's no gimmick for her that works. She's kind of gawky. I like her. Let's teach her how to kill people. Let's Xia Li her ass over.
My thought on Jessie is they need to stop having her play small characters. She's big. Like you got to find a way to make a big baby face, but she's tall.
She's a ex-college volleyball player. She is tall.
Yeah. Yeah, she is tall.
I would agree, but yes, I'm quite happy about this. I know Sasha Banks and Bayley desperately want matches with Miko Satomura. I would not be shocked if there's a little bit of a program eventually where she comes over and visits, or maybe they visit NXT UK.
Please send them over to NXT UK because like NXT UK is a pretty darn good WWE product for a 1 hour wrestling show. Like the announced team is good. Most of the in-ring work is good. Vince does not have his fingerprints all over the writing of this show. And I would love to see Sasha and Bayley get to go over to NXT UK, not be hyper-burdened with, the challenges of trying to get wrestling visible on television from week to week.
there's a little too much NXT high school / office politics aspect to NXT UK because like angles are made by people walking down the hall and running into other wrestlers because it's like everybody lives on campus and only sees each other. That I'd like to get rid of that, but other than that, yeah, you're correct.
Yeah, no, I mean, but like that's the thing is you have to go pretty far down in terms of quibbles to really go like what is this brand kind of what's its biggest shortcoming. It's the backstage universe is weird.
Speaking of not being able to find any kind of wrestling programming on your television.
and the challenges of visibility.
The Superstar Spectacular to celebrate the christening of NXT India was on the WWE Network this week. A completely missable but not offensive show, in my opinion. Mixing superstars from actual main roster with some of the Indian talent that they have. You know, they went out of their way to do a lot of personality profiles. You know, that the things that WWE does well before they lose complete interest after 2 weeks, they did here. They made their talent look great. They made the baby faces look like baby faces. They had veterans like Aunt Pam and Natty and Charlotte and Drew McIntyre. And, you know, they bring out Jinder Mahal to be the big bad guy in the whole promotion, along with the Bollywood boys to take bumps for people. You know, it was fine. It's just, I don't know. This is going to sound very jingoistic, and I don't mean it to at all. I don't know that you necessarily grow a territory in a country in the global economy by just having people root for the home team, you know?
Yeah, right. I think that it's got to be more sophisticated than just this guy loves his country. You know, like over in NXT UK, just slapping a Union Jack on Tyler Bates tights and hoping that that's going to be enough. I'm with you. I think
there's one. I think you can do that with your big baby face.
Yes.
I think that's okay. It's one of those things where I'm like, okay, you can watch all these people you don't know, or you can watch Drew McIntyre and Finn Balor and the people you watch on your television every day.
Yeah, no, these people in India just have to be big characters. And I think, you know, with a show like this, it really does need to be written for an Indian audience. I think that will be the real challenge here is this show still being written subconsciously, essentially for an American audience, because all the writers don't really know how to write good angles for the audience that they are writing for. That will, you know, dictate success or failure. I also worry about Jinder Mahal is Jinder Mahal. Like, he's not that good. You know, he can't really.
He's
carry
jacked.
I haven't seen him these days. Like, I full disclosure, I didn't watch this India show, but like, he was when he came back, sure, but that's all he was.
Well, they tried to make him a babyface last time. They tried to make him the face of this brand last time. If you recall, when they were doing the Asian tour, he was the big hero.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Rejected him when he was the champion. And I'm just, it's amazing. It's amazing sometimes with their thought process. Finally, for just, you know, the lighthearted news, I would guess. I don't know how to transition this. Undertaker on Joe Rogan's podcast. Be remiss if we did not talk about that. I believe this happened late last week and I just missed it for the news part. But there's a quote here. When asked if he keeps up with the product, he says, "I try. It's tough for me right now. The product has changed so much, and it's kind of off. I'll probably piss a lot of people off, but they need to hear it. It is what it is. To the young guys who think he's a bitter old guy, I'm not bitter. I did my time. I walked away when I wanted to walk away. I just think the product is a little soft. There's guys here and there that have an edge to them, but there's too much pretty and not enough substance, I think, right now." Now, that in and of itself is a fine quote. The problem was the stuff preceding it, where he's talking about, well, we used to, back in my day, have to carry guns and knives, and now these, and then we drink all night at the bar, and these guys just want to go back to their room and play video games. If that first quote was the only takeaway from this show, I would say, hell yes. Because I agree, it's a little soft. I want a little more hate in my wrestling. I want a little more violence in my wrestling. That's a personal preference to me. But
there's a cause and effect relationship here that I think is utterly flawed. And I think what annoys me about Undertaker here is that he's putting it at the door of the boys, and specifically at the door of the boys for not wanting to go out and get trashed after doing Monday Night Raw, when the real problem here is, he's right, it's locker room culture, but it's the owner of the locker room. and the culture around this product that has made it lose fire. Kevin Dunn is a big person, and there's no way to read the Taker quotes or hear the Taker quotes and arrive at the he's indicting Kevin Dunn here. Everything in Taker's tone is it's the wrestler's fault.
It's acting. It's acting. And I know Undertaker comes from that time period where you lived your gimmick. But if you want the product to have an edge, let the product have an edge. It doesn't mean the people doing the product have to have the edge off screen. All you gotta do is kind of protect the magic factory that is show business. And just be a have a product with more of an edge.
You know, yeah, off-screen edge doesn't necessarily result in on-screen edge.
As I've gotten older, I have respected the hell more out of employees who just go, I'm here to do my job, and then I'm going home to my family. As opposed to, oh, won't you, don't you want to hang out with your coworkers after work? Don't you want to stay a little later because the company appreciates you so much? No.
No. Yeah.
Have that standoffishness to go, hey, I have a life. I'm just doing my 8 hours here and getting paroled for the day.
I hate when they say we're a family here. Like, that's
no,
nails on a chop.
We're not a family here.
I'm like, I have a family. I'm good. Thanks. you guys give
loves
me the check.
Me.
Yeah.
My family loves me and won't get rid of me if there's a downturn in corporate America leading to our firm not having more business. And you thinking that the accounting department is overhead. There's no accounting department in my family other than my mom and my dad. Thank you. Please. We're not a family. We're not a team. It doesn't matter how much gobbledygook you say about, we don't call our employees. We call them cast members or team members.
Yeah, team members. What? Yeah, team members.
No, yeah, yeah. There's no. I'm an employee. I'm here to do my job. Let me do my job and shut up. That's I hate all this. Man, we need to mind screw these dummies. Otherwise they'll think they're employees. No. It's crazy.
The new one, since we're on this topic, this is what emojis on Slack are turning into. It's a way of, like, mind-washing you in a different way. Everyone responds in emojis and stuff on the work Slack, and you feel like you have to respond back in the emojis, too. And then you go, what is happening to me with these emojis?
Go on.
Give me an example.
Do you like send your cats emojis?
I don't send, no, all I send is the green check, but I definitely have worked with people now in a number of different organizations.
Are you big on the 100s? Are you
no, but I've got the diamonds, the people send me the crowns.
Diamond hands. Don't give up your stocks.
No, diamond hands is different. Diamond hands forever, baby. Never sell AMC. Never sell to the grave. No, but like, I actually rocket ship as well. I've definitely seen that a lot on Slack.
Poop,
like,
emojis. Are you big on the poop?
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not.
The
but
thinking,
I,
the thinking guy. Is
no,
that
I hate that the thinking guy. I look at thinking guy. I think thinking guy has a fart that he doesn't want to let out. He's holding
it. Bob. He just yes.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I want toughness in wrestling. I want rivalries. I want to be treated seriously. But
oh yeah, that's
I don't
right. Undertaker. No, he's wrong. He's just wrong.
Yeah, I don't need to hear I don't want to hear stories of when. You know, I don't need Ole Anderson and Harley Race at a bar at 3 a.m. knifing some hillbillies and
also
in
like
an
where
Alabama.
Was all this tough guy ethos stuff when he was working one match a year and he was showing up and he was looking road tired and dead during these matches. One match a year, bro. I get it. We explained it away by being like, well, you know, Mark's had hip surgery. He is getting a little bit old. Okay, then don't wrestle. But if you're gonna come in and do one day of work. And bring home how much is he getting paid for that one appearance a year, Jeff? What do you think?
Oh, I'm
he was
sure
getting?
A couple million.
Yeah, one night $2 million, $1 million, whatever it is. He does one day of work, and he was coming in giving okay performances, but he didn't look his absolute best. And there were times where, like, he was showing up with a grandpa gut for $2 million. So spare me.
Look, I like Mark Calloway a lot. Don't get me wrong, but
you gotta walk your walk, bro. Like, I hate this, you know, I could do it so much differently. Dude, I just saw you the last decade not do it that way.
He's coming into the PC to train the younger generation. All right, gather around. Let me tell you about the wonders of black tar heroin. Everybody on the road.
Guys want to learn about Wrestler's Court?
Yeah, that's actually closer, because I don't think the Undertaker's probably done black tar heroin, nor would I ever accuse him of such a thing. level four, all the Sabatellian company, learning about Wrestler's Court final. Who's going to be the judge and the bailiff this week, and who's buying the beer to buy him off?
As we discussed last week, when you're a litigant in Wrestler's Court, there are a few things you have to be aware of.
Next week. Oh, God. Next week, getting on Vince's good side. Wednesday Night Wars, AEW 734,000 viewers, NXT 720,000 viewers. Numbers
Yikes.
May be off due to, well, they may be off due to streaming issues with AEW, so take that with a grain of salt.
I heard something about, like, one of the satellite services or something or other, but, like,
yeah.
I mean, this is not good. The hope would be, after the wonderful and touching and excellent Mr. Brody Lee tribute show that got pretty good ratings, that you'd be able to build momentum on that and draw and or sustain viewership. And granted, it has been a heck of a few weeks here and a long month, shall we say. But for the numbers to feel really unaffected by that 4 weeks out is not a good sign. Not for AEW. This is not necessarily entirely an indictment on AEW. But it is for the state of wrestling. And we gotta get, people need to just be able to find it, Jeff. If only there was a way for people to view wrestling.
Oh, this running joke is going to kill me eventually, Chris. Yeah, I that. Start with the very good. I'm going to get AEW out of the way real quick. That Dax Harwood versus Jungle Boy match. Inject that directly into my NWA Mid-Atlantic loving veins over here. That was so Southern, it should have gravy on it and it should be deep fried. Is what that thing was. That was Arn or Tully versus Sam Houston circa 1986, trying to make the kid look like a star, and I loved every minute of it, Chris.
Yeah.
I loved Tully and Dash being handcuffed to
Luchasaurus.
Luchasaurus, thank you. I almost said the dinosaur. You know, I loved the powder afterwards, the cutting of the mask in such an insulting way. The match itself was stomp, kick, stomp, kick. Give that to me, baby. Tell me.
No, I love this match. This is a really, really fun match. I thought it was a hoot. I don't have anything else to add onto it. You basically nailed it for me. Yeah, like, look, Luchasaurus is kind of a, you either love that gimmick or it does nothing for you. And I think I kind of liked it when I saw him on Lucha Underground, but I think I've moved to the point where I'm not anti it, but it just doesn't do anything for me. But I like cutting off the horns, handcuffing him and cutting off the horns, to your point, very Southern wrestling, all into
the
it.
The visuals, all match of Dash and Tully handcuffed to this giant mask.
They got over his strength, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was both ridiculous and got him over, which is amazing. Dash every time standing up, come on, and getting pulled back every time. Tully coming off the ropes for a spike pile driver. Oh.
I love the way he, like, rolled out of it, too. I was just like,
yeah.
Get it, Tully. Yeah.
He's like country club tennis shape. I love it. I want him in Marco. in like just a gimmick match for like five. Like,
that would be
this?
That would
how
be a
this?
Hoot. I would love that.
Here we
that.
Go. Here we go. This is what I want so bad. It's the I want to call them the Lucha Express, but that's not it. It's the
Jurassic the Express. Stable.
Jurassic Express. Thank you. I'm losing my mind. It's a CT. I don't. It's the Jurassic Express versus FTR, and if Jurassic Express wins. Or if, no, how about this? If FTR wins, Tully Blanchard gets 5 minutes with Marco Stunt.
Oh,
give
man.
Me that.
Oh,
give
man.
Me that. With a belt.
I mean, I'm honestly in for Tully and Stunt having some sort of gimmicky angle thing. I like this. I think it gets over Jurassic Express pretty well. This is a really good mid-card feud. Like this is good stuff.
I had nothing else to really talk about AEW in terms of things that are pressing for me.
Jericho really needed to prove to himself in the world that he could do a moonsault still.
Somebody got a little bit upset by the criticism. Somebody's a little sensitive out there about criticism from the internet.
Yeah, right. No, he never cares about that. The internet's full of internet marks.
Yeah. No, he's the demo god. Why would he care about people's thoughts on the internet?
Yeah. Those demo god days seem like eons ago. He's becoming a demo mortal. I got nothing to add on that. I think Varsity Blondes continue to improve, and I like them. But
I am here for the time in about a year and a half, when Pillman Jr. just absolutely super kicks Griff Garrison.
See, I want them to go heel, like Hollywood Blonde style, and really find their stride.
Both of
like,
them?
I think they both should go heel. I'm with you.
I'll take that. I will take that. I'll take that journey.
Yeah,
I'll go on that journey.
I'm into that. Other than that, like, man, the Kenny stuff is. There's just too much stuff going on with the Kenny Omega angle.
We've gushed enough. Let me bury the WWE main roster shows this week. Which, let me posit this: the Royal Rumble for me was really ruined when they decided to make it for main eventing WrestleMania, because you can't make a new star necessarily then. It's always going to be for a title shot. There's only going to be four or five people who could win it. And to me, it just seems like the easiest thing in the world if you're going to use this stipulation. Let's just build up 10 to 20 guys who you think could run this company and be big megastars and seem like a big deal. And then the intrigue in the Rumble is, which one are you going to pick? But they can't do that. And it's so... Instead, we get friends who you know, give like cheap shots to each other because, you know, it's every man for himself in the Royal Rumble. We get stupid contrived spots of like 10 to 12 people in the ring at once. This is just going to be what it's like on Sunday. Blah, 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 blah. It's easy to build the Royal Rumble as a big deal if you make everybody seem like they have a chance to win it. And the way they do this is stupid. I'm sorry. Big E, to me, going into this Royal Rumble, I should be going, I hope this is time for his push. And instead I'm going, he's doing stupid comedy and it's dumb. I'm just going to go through the quick hits in both shows and my short little notes here, Chris. And I will give the floor back to you because I am ranting right now. Raw SmackDown notes. These are the notes I have down here. Charlotte is a jerk. That six-woman match was stupid. And it was botched. And they restarted it just to make it suck again. This dopey gauntlet was bad. Alexa Bliss gets RKO'd. So, hey, intergender on both shows now. The Sasha Banks skit this week was stupid. Daniel Bryan's promo, first half great, second half dumb. This show was a waste of time on Friday. Even the Bianca Belair getting put over, I did
that
buy
promo
her
at the
afterwards.
End was weird. It was so that's not authentic to Bianca. I didn't think she did a good job delivering it, but the reason she didn't do a good job delivering it is it's not authentic at all to who Bianca Belair has been on my television screen for 4 years now.
And then Bayley can't help but corpse, and you all know I love me some Bayley, but she's corpsing when she should be pissed. I'm just, yeah, everything about this about these two shows this week, blue goats. And I hate to use that terminology because occasionally, again, the children are in the car, and I don't want to necessarily do that. So they stunk. The show stunk. I hated them. I hated them both.
Look, any week where Slapjack loses his crap, Jeff.
Oh, yes, we have to go through, yes, our Slapjack updates.
Yeah. So, first of all, this
please,
is a down.
Please talk to the Slap Jackalopes, I guess is what you call
them.
Yeah,
the Jackalopes. Jackalope Nation. Ooh. What's going on, guys?
You know, if only we could find Slapjack on a wrestling show.
That'd be great. Part of the reason why Jackalope Nation's not bigger is because people can't find Slapjack. But provided that if they could only find him, they'd love him. I agree with you on the women's side here. When it comes to the Royal Rumble, I mean, it just feels so small. And I've gone back and watched old WWF angles from the 90s, and they don't start the Rumble build particularly sooner than now. But I think part of the reason why the Rumble feels so small is that they do a 4-week build on this thing when the seeds for the Rumble really should start getting planted at the end of the previous year in December. So you're going to have like the holidays and everything, but you plant those seeds, people go away for the holidays, maybe they don't watch one of the holiday shows. You come back in January and you're reminded that there were seeds planted back in December because something a storyline gets picked up or something. And I think that would make the Rumble feel bigger. It would give you more time to address the concerns that you brought up about having lots of people feel like they're viable winners and that there are lots of different people who maybe could win this, and even using the potential of maybe this person or that person being like Kurt Stallion, for example. I'm just going to use him as a guy. Young, up-and-coming guy. We like Kurt Stallion. They're not pushing him like this, I'm aware. But Kurt Stallion maybe goes on a nice little winning streak in December and announces that he's going to be in the Royal Rumble. And we believe that maybe he's not going to win it, but like if Kurt Stallion gets a couple of eliminations, he's hanging in there and he's like in the final like five or whatever, that could actually do something for that guy. And we've now gone on a multi-week journey with Kurt Stallion and established this dude. Doing everything in 4 weeks, it's like, okay, we got a little bit of a Daniel Bryan thing. We got a little bit of a Big E thing. Kevin Owens is doing this angle with Roman Reigns instead of actually being in the Royal Rumble. I think he'd be kind of interesting as a Royal Rumble winner. I'm not jazzed for this at all. And this used to be one of the things I really liked about WWF's product back in the day.
The one intriguing thing to me would be have the last man standing match first and then have Kevin Owens eventually win the Rumble.
Oh, that'd be
cool.
That
would be something. Because, you know, even though they're going back the well again, it's after he got his ass beat so bad that he couldn't continue, and then he comes into the Rumble. That might redeem this entire thing of just keep on going back to Roman Kevin Owens. It might. I don't think it would, but it might.
Yeah, it might. I actually think Roman and Kevin Owens is less egregious than the McIntyre-Goldberg angle, which I'm absolutely apathetic towards.
Which NXT maybe hostile? Would you like to do first?
I'm vibing on this NXT UK. Let's talk a little NXT UK.
Chris, I need some organ music. Can you get me some organ music real quick?
Yeah, I sure can. I sure can. What is the spirit of this organ?
Like church on a Sunday. Like a big type of cathedral type thing.
All right.
Thank you. All right,
oh, it's on solo.
That sounds like an 8-bit video game. Let us all bow our heads and pray right now. Dear being of your choosing, please bless Trent Seven, a god among men, a man with charisma out the wazoo, A hero to chubby people everywhere like myself. Who is going to undertake the greatest sacrifice of all? Trying to get under 205 pounds. A man with sexual charisma at the Yazoo to the point where he was having carnal relations in a bathroom in a Hi-Li arena in Orlando on WrestleMania weekend. A man who can be a hero to the children everywhere, showing that, yes, you too, if you put your mind to it, can lose an extraordinary amount of weight to fight for a belt that doesn't mean anything. In your deity's name,
Amen. I like how he came off as a dick through that promo, too. If you really get down to it, Devlin comes out, he's like, I've been doing this, I've been defending the title. I'm not going to try to do his accent or whatever, but he's like, I've been out here, I've been trying to defend the title. I've never had a legitimate title shot against Santos Escobar. Like, they're both heels. It's not entirely clear who's the bad guy here. And Devlin's actually been out and fighting and, you know, challenging people and willing to put his title on the line. And rather than letting him get to the end of this, Trent Seven just interrupts him and then comes in and is like, I'm going to cut weight. And if I do that, I'll totally kick your ass. And then punches him in the face and then stands on his belt.
That's just lone wolf baby face.
That's alpha male baby.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card. But with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club slab pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it and look, it's going to be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably going to get in those. Maybe you find that fun, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs, and it ends up being, you know, almost nothing, you know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You get a display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading. So you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, setting these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet, arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. Keyless entry, no more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally, and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They are on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy Video Lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived. And really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys and reach in my pocket, or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy Video Lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition, 1 second. Door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
Face stuff, I know, I right, yeah, but like, I'm like, why are we doing this?
I will be upset now if I do not get training montages, if I do not get diet plans, if I do not get sauna suits of some kind.
I'm interested as to what's motivating this angle for Seven. Is he just like getting ready to go and get like a little bit of liposuction or something and wants to work it into the angle?
studio notes from Vince.
Yeah, dear, no, I was thinking.
Remember what happened to Cassius Ohno? Better hit that treadmill, Tubby. I like Trent Seven. I
don't think his body's an issue.
I don't think it's that bad.
I don't mind him.
But he said, how about I get down to 205? It was the Charlie Murphy.
I know, he said that, and I'm just like, I don't, what the hell are we doing here? Why?
I'm hoping it's a bait switch.
Yes.
It's a Tyler Bate
switch. Tyler Bate switch.
Woohoo! I win the punt game today, baby. Oh, that's an Andrew Rich-like joke that I will never live down. Yeah, I'm hoping it's to reintroduce Tyler Bate some way, because I just don't see.
Oh, that'd be funny. Like, Seven can't get down, and so like he tries his damnedest to get down on the weight and can't get down on the weight, and then just reintroduces Tyler Bate.
And then Cocky Heel goes, haha, guess you're gonna have to forfeit. But oh no, I have a replacement here. It's Tyler Bate. I guess that you. Although, the idea of svelte. Trent Seven, thank you. It's age, Chris. The idea of svelte Trent Seven intrigues me as well. I want to see body guy Trent Seven.
I mean, yeah, I want to see it, but I...
Come on!
It's not what he needs. It's not the difference between making Trent Seven good or not good. Trent Seven's good.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's good. I call him British Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah, right. I think with his character being a little everyman in the body,
yes,
I actually think works. Yes, I agree. I concur.
You know, not everybody has to have 2% body fat for people to love them. You know,
not the every man baby face. I think point, why did Dusty Rhodes work? I didn't get this as a kid. I used to think it was weird that like you had this like fat guy that everybody loved and he just came out and kicked butt. But that's why it worked. He was not Dusty Rhodes is the every man who like the people in his audience related to. He looked
and he could speak for the people with his rap,
yes,
baby.
Yes. Yeah, right, exactly. And you don't need to have the body. Actually, having the body is a little alienating.
But here's the thing. This has always been WWE's thing since the Hogan era. Oh, no, they have to be larger than life. People are actually living vicariously through these superheroes that they could never be. Having an everyman ruins your product because if it's just, and this was the height thing too, if anybody could do it, then anybody could do it. So you don't want that. You want that air of mysticism. And I'm like, no. You want somebody that people like who they can root for. That's all you want. And they just never get this. They never get
this.
You
know what's fun? I don't know where Vince got this. I'm really would love to understand the psychology of this because it's not – that's not the Bruno – that's not the Bruno San Martino method, right? That's not the Johnny Saint method. Like you go through all these top level baby faces from the 70s and 80s, and Bruno was a body guy, sure, but like Bruno also, you know, was very obviously balding too. There were like very humanizing qualities about Bruno that made people.
Bruno was his dad's guy, too.
Yeah.
Remember? Yeah. So when Vince came in, it's like, no, I don't want these everyman, you know, guy who represents Pittsburgh and, you know, Italian people being my champ. I want Hulk Hogan.
From nowhere. Yeah. No. I think you're really onto something here. So what Vince's characters are really reacting to is regionality. And I guess this kind of gets back to the India thing and like why NXT India might have some issues. Vince never really learned how to book for regional territories. If anything, what he was doing with Hulk Hogan is like, I want a guy where it doesn't matter if you're from Missoula, Montana or Biloxi, Mississippi or Jacksonville, Florida, you see Hulk Hogan and you love him. And that's interesting. And that sort of worked with Hulk Hogan. But there is something to be said about the magic of Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen having horseman country in Atlanta. There's something to be said for the Hennings being the heroes of Minnesota. And Kurt Hennig, yes, he was great as Mr. Perfect, but like he would have been pretty successful as babyface Kurt Hennig as well because of the regionality component of this.
Yeah, John Tolos in Los Angeles, the Von Erichs in Texas. It's a tale as old as time, and they can never get it right in WWE.
And why was ECW able to compete for a while? Because they were regional. They were able to actually compete with them to a certain extent nationally because they were like, we're Pittsburgh product. Or we're Philadelphia product.
And it was a Philly product through and through.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
The only other note I had was, let's ban Tower of Doom spots in large tag team wrestling type of.
I hated the main event with this multi-man, like the rules of this thing were stupid. I will say this, like, I feel bad because I don't want this to sound like I'm hating fully on the referee. The referee talks loud enough that I notice him.
The empty arena kills him.
The empty arena kills him too. He's actually good at his job. And I think that he does a nice job talking loud and it allows him to talk quietly at everyone. He actually does a good job not getting caught on microphone, unlike others, when he's talking soft. But some of the things that the referees are asked to like do and the motions they're asked to go through in the ring really need to be revisited in terms of rituals. Like, it's stupid that the referees are like, hey, get off the top rope. Hey, don't be on the top rope. You gotta be off the top rope.
What are you doing? What are you
listen
doing?
Listen to me.
What are
listen
you doing?
Listen to me. Get, come on. Hey, what? Yeah, no, that drives me crazy.
He's having his moment.
Yeah, no, I know he's being part of the scene here. I'm trying to see if there's anything else that really kind of stuck out to me.
I kind of liked Gallus watching that match though with like popcorn and sodas.
I think Gallus is fun. I like Joe Coffey is doing a very interesting characterization thing right now where he's like not a babyface and he's not really a heel. Like they're tweeners, but in a way that makes sense. And
the setup of that of the match with who is it?
Rampage.
Rampage. Was interesting because it wasn't quite heel or babyface. It's just, hey, wanted to have a match with you. Okay, I'm going out with the guys later.
Yeah, we'll see about that. But it definitely was like, we'll see about that. Like he's kind of yanking him, but they're gonna do it. It was my takeaway, and I think that was like the takeaway that Rampage would have gotten from that too. I'm kind of interested. I think Shaw Samuels and Noam Dar have a real possibility of being a lot of fun as trash talking heels. Kind of looking forward to that. And Gradwell, I don't know what they're doing with Gradwell. I get so confused by him because it's like they kind of are building him up. It would seem as like a kind of a substantial entity. And then like, you know, he eats losses to Ben Carter.
Well, Ben Carter's going to be huge. So he should.
But he's not huge right now.
Right.
Is my point.
This is probably a guy he should have beat 3 or 4 months down the road in terms of Gradwell. Because there are other guys you can put in the ring with Ben Carter to have a big win.
With Gradwell, too, is now Gradwell's being transitioned on to Ilya Dragunov, right? Like, we just had the... Yeah, you know. And so, I think if we're going to have, you know, him call out Ilya Dragunov for 50, loose 50, cannon...
50-50. This is what it
should be hot on the heels, though, of him winning, is what I'm saying. Like, Gradwell should have beaten Carter here. Because I'm with you. Carter, long-term, is bigger than Gradwell, right? Yeah, sure. But... In this scenario, Gradwell needs to beat Carter because Carter's not—he's not that right now. And then go on to this match with Ilya Dragunov, where Ilya Dragunov dismantles him. But we need to think that Gradwell is a threat, and right now I don't think Gradwell's a threat at all.
We need to get rid of Mohawks in wrestling. I've come to this conclusion because they make you look smaller than you are, like it did with Psycho Sheamus? Killer in NXT.
Tommaso Ciampa.
Tommaso Ciampa made him look tiny when he was in the ring there. Malcolm Gladwell is a great wrestler, great promo. Gradwell.
He spent 10,000 hours working on that stuff. He should be.
I just, the Mohawk doesn't fit the character. You know, it doesn't fit. There's nothing punk rock about Gradwell, right? He's a guy with a Mohawk.
It's weird to call him the Thunderstorm, too. It's actually not a bad handle, but, like, it just doesn't fit what he's doing. I don't dislike the Thunderstorm thing, though. Something about it's evocative, but it's not working.
Well, after the loss, he's the partly cloudy with a chance of rain.
Yeah. And then we have Pretty Deadly. They get the win. I like the Eddie Dennis stuff, and mm-hmm. it's a neat wraparound of, like, maybe Eddie Dennis is... He's just going to hop from team to team here.
Yes. Yeah. He's playing both sides against the middle in some ways.
Yeah.
Pretty Deadly is fine. Pretty Deadly is fine either way. If they're going to win the titles and then move on and turn baby against the Hunt, I'm good with that. If Gallus just kills them and murder deaths them, I'm fine with that too. Either way here, they're fine. And then it continues the Eddie Dennis versus Andrews and Flash Morgan Webster. Feud too. So,
No. I think Deadly might win the titles. I think there's a pretty decent non-zero.
And then send Gallus over to real NXT then. I'm good with that too.
No, that'd be great. Yeah, I'm into that.
Let him have a little time there. I'll go through my NXT notes here and just kind of ramble them off and then we can discuss anything further that you'd like to do in them. I liked the MSK, Maverick, and Dane sprint of a tag team match. I especially love that one spot where Drake Maverick kicked the hand of the guy trying to get the tag. Those little things I dig. I liked the women's tag match in there. I'm here for the three-way in the women's division for the title because Storm and Martinez and Io are all friggin' fantastic. I am down with that. I like the Tegan Knox, Brie Larson cross-promotion thing. I thought that's the proper way to do such things as opposed to beating you over the head. It's a cool opportunity for Tegan Knox, too, to be on Brie Larson's channel. Zach Gibson is the best promo. Love that dude because he always brings it every single promo. Love the Imperium promo. Makes him born again hardcore, and the specter of Walter wasn't always hitting you in the face, but you knew he was there occasionally, and you know he's coming eventually. I've turned on Dexter Lumis. I like him now. He makes me laugh every time with just how stupid the situations they put him in. Especially that moment with Austin Theory where he's just staring at him. That made me laugh. I've turned on the guy. I like him. I like him as a presence. I don't want him to be the top guy, but he's fine for what he is as just a avenging angel type of character, I think. And finally, just one thing. I will now watch NXT, I think, with the sound off because I enjoy it much more. I hate this commentary right now. I hate what they've done to
You should do my old trick for Lucha Underground, which is put on Black Sabbath's Masters of Reality. And you might need something a little bit longer for NXT. You might need like Masters of Reality and then maybe some other Black Sabbath album.
Oh,
you should
I've
definitely
also
do it with Black
mind.
Sabbath.
I've changed my mind on your theory. I think your theory is still somewhat correct, but I'm going to morph it a little bit. I think O'Reilly and Finn win the tag team titles, and then the Undisputed Era wins the Dusty Tournament for the shot at the tag team titles. And then someone's getting a Dusty beatdown. Or someone's getting a Horseman beatdown. I don't know yet who, but somebody's getting a Horseman beatdown.
Okay, that's interesting. I definitely have the Grizzled Young Veterans going to the finals. In my head, I almost had them winning this Dusty Classic. But maybe indeed it will be the Undisputed Era. I do think that there's going to be a collision here, though, between the Undisputed Era, O'Reilly, and Finn Balor at some point.
But I like the Undisputed Era's Finn Balor partnership. I would not mind if
too.
Finn Balor became a part and became the new leader. And maybe Adam Cole kind of resents it eventually. But when Fish comes back, he goes, hey, I want my spot back. And they beat Bobby Fish down. I'm good with that, too. I don't care, but I like their partnership. I like the toughness. I'm missing Pat McAfee. I want some Pat Mac here. Or someone who can.
Yeah, Lorcan and Birch. The one problem for them in this gimmick with McAfee is that their roles are really ill-defined. And it's hard for them. It's hard for them to exist as characters on their own because they basically only exist as goons.
They're the red shirts of the group. They're there to fight for
the red shirt champions of the group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's unfortunate because just putting the titles on them don't make them more interesting characters, but McAfee made them interesting. The whole reason for them joining this little crew was interesting because Pat McAfee said, first they rejected my money, then they wanted my money. That makes them interesting, but now they're not. So anything in NXT you want to talk about?
No, I think that the illustration, though, on Birch and Lorcan about like the loss of characterization and how you put the belt on, they're less interesting. It analogizes in certain ways kind of to Kenny Omega and putting the belt on him over on AEW, where it's like, it's not that the wrestler isn't worthy of the title, but if you don't have the characterization there and it's not fully clicking, it doesn't matter that you put the belt on them. You're actually just
title's not going to make the character. You have to have the character first and then put the title on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I am here for that women's three-way, though. I did not, for some reason, and I wrote you this, I go, my God, Tony Storm looks like a giant next to Io. How did that happen? Was that just a camera trick?
The interaction with her and Mercedes Martinez is really interesting.
Even Mercedes wasn't as looked as giant next to Io as Tony Storm did. That was so weird to me.
Yeah, no,
but Mercedes ain't short. Yeah,
I'm into it. I they have a really good women's division. I think that they've got a lot of talented people in there.
Yeah, seek out the Rise match between Martinez and Tony Storm. Again, if you haven't seen it, it's just fantastic. So that's going to be great. Okay, well, if you have no further thoughts, we will go into our
I have one more. I have one more thought.
Go ahead.
Ever Rise rules.
Yes, Ever Rise rules. Matt Martell is my spirit animal. I love that dude. The false bravado is what makes it. And look, I know we're building. You know I loves me some Malcolm Bivens, follower of the Jeff. And I loves the dude. The Tyler Rust promos with the puns, the diamond in the rust thing. Please give Bivens Ever-Rise. Please, please, please have these two phenomenally comedic acts joined together in a super blind faith-like super group to just make magic every week. That's all I want, WWE. Please.
It was weird to see Rust modulate so quickly to being a heel this week.
Yeah. You like that kind of gradual...
I like the transition thing. I think that's fun.
It's a new skin. Oh, I don't remember. You know, I have to forget all the things I used to do as a good guy. Oh, I can break rules now. And then once you start to learn how to break rules, you break more rules. And then you learn, oh, now I'm enjoying myself breaking these rules and being a bad guy. And now I'm starting to enjoy being evil. And I like it the other way too. The heel who turns babyface, but is fighting against his inner nature to be a heel. You know, the guy, oh, here's the part where I'd normally put on brass knuckles, but I'm not going to do that right now because that would be wrong. And I'm trying to fight with honor now.
The best version of that is Hollywood John Tatum doing a squash match against some like no-namer where he is trying to be a babyface and he still squashes the guy.
Yeah, the version I liked a lot was one of Eddie Gilbert's short NWA runs when they were going in the U.S. title tournament, a team with Ron Simmons. And they eventually lose the finals because he wanted to be a heel and he didn't, and then he lost admirably. But in the first couple tournament matches, there were those moments where you could see where the old Eddie Gilbert's gonna come back. It's like, nope, I promised my partner Ron Simmons I was gonna do this on the up and up. And yeah, it's those are the types of interesting character stories that we like to see in professional wrestling. Because you know, you can do that in normal media, but it's cool to see it in, you know, your favorite media. So, cool, cool, cool. I will bring up the Royal Rumble card here real quick. Say something interesting.
I'm always doing interesting stuff over at Don't Worry About the Government, which you can find.
No, that's not the time for plugs. Let's get into it. Okay. six matches on the card right now, subject to change. We are doing this preview without the knowledge of what's going to happen on Backstage tomorrow. Here's another piece of news that's interesting. They're doing a rehearsal for the Rumble in Orlando, doing the Rumble in Tampa, and a lot of people have already gone to Tampa, so you have to commute between the two. Just WWE gonna WWE. But on this Backstage show, they're going to have Natty versus Tamina for the right to be number 30 in the Rumble. Women's Rumble. It's going to be Natty. And they're going to announce who will be 1 and 2 in the Men's Rumble. So we're doing this without that prior knowledge. Starting off with the singles match for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. Sasha Banks versus Carmella. Assuming the sommelier with the horrible French accent, Reginald, will be there. Don't ask people to do accents if they can't do them, people.
No.
Who do you like here?
I think that Sasha wins. I don't see Reginald and Carmella going over here.
I would agree. I think this is the easiest thing to predict on the show. I hope Carmella has another decent match. That's for the tag team match for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships, the champions, Asuka and Charlotte Flair, and her lousy babyface character, which is the same as her lousy heel character. take on two more lousy characters, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. Poor Shayna gets knocked a little loopy, ends up getting counted out, which ruins the match. Then they have to restart, think of some reason to do that. And she gets DQ'd like a geek. Because, again, it fits into her weird gimmick of not understanding the rules of professional wrestling. Nia Jax almost possibly killing Dana Brooke.
Man,
on Monday.
She is... Look, how many times have we been here? She's not good at wrestling. She
on
doesn't...
I just want some upper body strength. Just work on that.
That's never going to happen, Jeff. You've wanted that for years. It's never going to happen. She just doesn't put in the time, and she doesn't care about taking care of the other people that she's working with in the ring. And so she potatoes them or asks them to leave their feet and trust her, Nia Jax, to take care of them on the way down, and then she fails them. She's a real bad actor, right?
Charlotte Flair in this lousy angle with Lacey Evans and Ric Flair.
Oh.
And just not coming off as a babyface. Nobody wants to see those two feud. Nobody really wants to see Ric Flair at this point. And
no one wants to really imagine Ric Flair and Lacey Evans together. Like, even as a heel thing, like it's weird. It's weird.
It's weird. It's sad to watch Ric Flair right now. And this is not the Ric Flair I want. The Ric Flair I want is the guy whose gimmick is protected, not the guy who, I just want to go out and entertain the fans every week. No, I want you to be special. And then Asuka, having
oh my God,
for
a God,
look scared and be and yeah.
What happened on Monday was awful, just like beyond horrid. The whole stuff with. Then Alexa Bliss comes back and she starts crying and she's scared, but is that manipulative? Like I don't care about whatever thrall the fiend has on Alexa Bliss or what. I don't care anymore. I want them all to disappear.
Okay, so do the champions retain or do they lose, Chris?
Champions retain.
I'm going to go the opposite way because I think there is a chance that Charlotte wins the Royal Rumble.
Okay.
And challenges is Asuka. So I think Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler get these titles.
Wait,
back.
But didn't Asuka lose the title on Monday?
This is for the tag team titles. Oh, the regular title? No.
Yeah.
No, because Randy Orton came in and RKO'd Alexa Bliss.
Oh, Alexa Bliss. Okay.
Yeah.
But I feel like Alexa Bliss is going to win the title eventually.
I think so, too. And we'll see if that's Rumble or something else, but... That could be, you could be correct on that too. I'm fine either way with this. I like Asuka a lot. I wish these tag titles were taken a little bit more care of. So if Nia and Shayna can do that with this terrible, always arguing gimmick that they do, and then lose to Casey Catanzaro and Kate Carter, I'm fine with that too. Please just do something with these titles that's interesting. For a singles match for the WWE Championship, Drew McIntyre taking on Bill Goldberg. What? Okay. I think Bill Goldberg gets a spear. He gets a tease of the title. He probably gasses out because it goes a little bit too long and gets claim kicked. What do you think?
I think there's some sort of weird stoppage thing in the middle of this where it's like, like a false finish thing. Did Goldberg win the title? Did he not win the title? Like almost a dusty finish, but not really. And I think McIntyre ultimately retains, but I think that this, it's more than just spear and near fall. It's like,
I've changed my mind, but continue, please.
Okay. It's going to be some weird ornate skit thing.
I think Miz is cashing in, and I think you're exactly right. I think there's some controversy where maybe Goldberg might have won. Maybe he didn't. Drew's upset. Miz leaves as champion, has to defend the title in the Elimination Chamber, and this is where Drew and Goldberg are both entered as well, because I think we're getting Goldberg in the Elimination Chamber too. And then they'll switch the title back probably to Drew.
It's going to be funny when Goldberg breaks a rib in the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, I liked that last run with Brock. And I wish he had left after that because I would have.
Man, that was such a good run. Those Brock matches were fun in a way that some of the other Brock matches were not fun.
The last man standing match for the WWE Universal title. The Tribal Chief, the head of the table, the reigning, defending the Universal Champion, taking on Cool Hand Luke, Kevin Owens, wearing the phenomenal Ever Rise t-shirt. Ever Rise does indeed rule. Chris, what is... they're doing this in Tampa. Are they doing this in the stadium? Are they doing this in Raymond James? Or are they doing it somewhere else? Can't remember. What is Kevin Owens going to fall off of in order to get the 10 count?
I think he's not going to get... He's not going to fall off something. I think it's going to be like a Roman Reigns buries him in a way that he can't get up from it. Like, so it's like tragic and he's like screaming at Roman. Like, we see his face, but he can't get his body off of the ground. Kind of like...
Like duct tape, like the Dave Bautista thing?
Yeah, or maybe more like The Rock and Mankind, that finish in the empty arena match. But something like that.
But Kevin Owens is not winning this, correct?
He should, but he's not.
I agree. I'd love to see him with
the big
belt,
especially after the promo that he gave here when Roman was like, your father and your grandfathers look at me as the tribal chief. Like, once someone says that, like, yeah, you should be getting that.
We didn't get conspiratorial, Roman, though. I did like the looking like a community theater mafia guy. I thought that was cool.
I thought it was funny. Yeah. Yeah, that was a good line.
But I'm happy we did not get the Roman. If your family thinks I'm the head of the table, then your children think I'm the head of the table. Then your wife thinks I'm the head of the table. Yeah, I think I'm going to enjoy this match a lot more than I'm sounding right now because Kevin Owens is great. I think Roman Reigns brings in big time, so I'm good with that. Moving on to our two Royal Rumble matches, the Women's Royal Rumble match, 30 women for a chance at the Women's Championship match at WrestleMania 37. I am going to be sticking with my pick, and especially after tonight, because usually the person who's been looking the weakest gets made if they are a big-time star. I think Bayley wins the Royal Rumble. Other people I could see winning it. I could see them giving it to Alexa Bliss for the storyline. I could see them having Bliss and The Fiend win the Royal Rumbles, and then that becomes the story of them challenging. I thought maybe Bianca might be, if she had lost tonight, maybe, because that Sasha is a hell of a match, but I think Vince goes with reliable people here in the post, quote-unquote, coming out of COVID era for WrestleMania, because there are going to be people in the stands, and he's going to want people he can count on, and he hasn't been able to count on anybody nearly as much as Bayley during this entire period, where she comes every week. Even when her stepfather passes away, I think this is her reward. I think all the horsewomen are eventually going to win Rumbles anyways. This is Bayley's year. Who else? I could see Rhea Ripley coming back and or debuting here, quote unquote, and winning. But I think she's going to be the Kane here. I think she's going to eliminate a lot of people, but she's not going to win. Surprises. Eva Marie, I think, is showing up. I have a lot of people telling me or thinking that maybe Lana wins the Rumble to continue that story from Survivor Series. And if they do that, I will laugh because it is such a dumb, dumb, dumb move unless your whole plan is to take that shot away from her at Elimination.
Yeah, I was going to say that they do that and take the shot away from her.
I think a lot of NXT people are going to get some time and they're going to be red shirts in this as usual. But Chris, give me your thoughts on the Women's Royal Rumble, and I will shut up. I apologize.
So, Women's Royal Rumble, I like the Bayley take. I think it's an interesting one. I could definitely see her as the winner, and she has indeed been a workhorse for Vince during this period when he doesn't have necessarily people he relies on. However, you brought up Alexa Bliss, and that is my pick, and I just want to flesh this out a little bit more here. Somebody Please. Likes this Fiend crap. It ain't me. It ain't Jeff. It's not necessarily the fans. I think Vince is the person who likes this Fiend crap. and he is generally on board with this. This scratches his "we're making movies" itch or whatever it is about this, and he wants to take this Alexa Bliss thing further. I think, to kind of further evidence this, he put that in the main event of Raw this week. You could go, well, it wouldn't work anywhere else. Wouldn't work anywhere. It doesn't work. He put it in the main event. I could go on, but I was like, yeah, I honestly made my point. I just can't imagine not going all the way with this Alexa Bliss thing. As dumb as the act is, they love it. They love this Fiend stuff.
I will make a caveat on my bet. If Alexa Bliss does win this Rumble, or if Rhea Ripley is on the Raw brand and she wins this Rumble, then Daniel Bryan will win the Men's Royal Rumble, which is where we are going next. 30-man Royal Rumble match for the World Championship match at WrestleMania 37. I think there are some interesting picks here. I think a lot of the more interesting picks are off the board. I loved the Edge promo, don't get me wrong, but I think he and Orton are set to dance at WrestleMania. I don't think that will be for a title necessarily. I think they're going to get off this Fiend feud eventually and then go on to rematch with Edge. I had Daniel Bryan on my board up until that promo where he was stumbling a bit today, and then kind of the cheeky stuff later where I was training with Gable. I think Gable eliminates Daniel Bryan. And I think as this is his self-professed last run where he's going to be having few matches this year and thinks that this might be his last year, the Daniel Bryan vanity promotion will continue and he'll get to wrestle who he wants. And I think he wants to have a great match at WrestleMania, and I think he wants to have it with Chad Gable. So I'm going to go with that as a prop bet, so to speak. I think there's a chance Brock Lesnar comes in here and wins this to rematch with Drew. But tonight threw a wrench in my original pick, and I'm going to have to kind of flesh this out, although they got off of it real quick. Because they decided to mix the rosters tonight, which I wasn't expecting, and shouldn't be happening. And what is it? The quarterly SmackDown Raw
That
talent
they
exchange.
They came up with that name almost as a damn troll.
You have the one time a year where people on different rosters face each other until 6 weeks later when you're doing the rump. I thought Sheamus was going to be the pick because I thought they had put the story on the back burner. Hey, we were mates when we were young. They were doing a lot of those video promos. I thought that, okay, we'll have the Goldberg as a one-off here at the Rumble, and then we'll bring in Sheamus. But I think Sheamus is probably going to be part of that. Probably going to be part of that Elimination Chamber, too, along with Drew and Goldberg and Miz and whoever they want. He had such a strong coming in and got the visual pinfall, but got beat up after. And the visual pinfall gives me pause because people that they have win the Rumble don't look strong going into the Rumble usually. And when he got the crap kicked out of him by Miz and Morrison, I thought, okay, there you go. It's going to be Sheamus, and they're going to go with it. Sheamus is a Vince guy. Sheamus is a Hunter guy. I'm going to stick with Sheamus, I think. I think it's going to be Sheamus and Bayley winning the two respective Rumbles. Chris, the floor is yours.
I don't like picking Sheamus, but they've been putting so much energy into like making him a slight babyface, and like they advanced the storyline enough with Drew McIntyre, then they actually pulled it back. Like, this is the only storyline that has any sort of multi-week depth to it at all. And with Sheamus, they've actually kind of pulled it back. I think you're right. I think he wins the Royal Rumble. I kind of agree with you. Like, I thought it was going to be Daniel Bryan. I guess I'm still open to Daniel Bryan, but then you go Daniel Bryan versus Drew McIntyre. Does that make sense? Probably not. It's got to be a heel, and it's got to have some sort of, kind of juiciness to the angle. And the juicy angle right now is Sheamus.
Let me interrupt you real quick, because I'll give you a way out. It doesn't have to be a heel if they're facing Roman Reigns.
Oh, that's
and so
right.
It could be Daniel Bryan and
against
then
Roman.
But they like having one sign pointer on each brand. So it would have to be the women's Rumble would have to come from Raw, probably. And then they'll put the men's Rumble winner on SmackDown. Could be Daniel Bryan.
And who are the women on Raw? I guess so then it would be like Alexa Bliss and Daniel Bryan.
That could be it, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Like, I think that's a viable alternative. And, I mean, I don't know. When he get the I don't know how many WrestleManias I have left promo, it does kind of make you think, like, maybe this is, like, his Christian-style one last match sort of run.
I will put this to you. I think Vince likes Daniel Bryan. He just doesn't see him as a star still. So I don't see him headlining Mania. I think it's going to be... I think instead he's going to have
getting a title shot does not mean you're headlining Mania.
Well, they say you
are. Well, they say that for like three different matches every year.
And we had the Nakamura versus AJ bait switch with the kick to the crotch after putting it as a dream match after the Philly Rumble. The problem is I think Daniel Bryan's gift is going to be his choice of opponent rather than being in the main event slot, quote unquote. So, but I'm here for Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns because they'll finally be booing Roman Reigns when nobody wants him to win. And then they can squash Daniel Bryan like a bug in front of the crowd and get Roman quote unquote heat. It's perfect for him now. So I think that's a solid pick to have Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. That's where I'm coming from on this.
Who's gonna be the biggest geek in this Rumble? And I think I know who it's gonna be, and you're gonna hate it.
It'll be my boy. It'll definitely be Retribution. But
it's gonna be Retribution. But I think it's gonna be Ali.
Oh, you think it's gonna be Ali specifically? I'm fine with that. The pretender to the throne, Ali. Yeah, no, I'm fine with him finally getting chopped down a peg.
I think Braun's throwing all of Retribution.
Oh, yeah, no, I think that they're all getting geeked.
Give me a surprise in this men's room. Not to win, but just to appear.
Yeah, a surprise appearance. I mean, we know Edge is coming back. I'll say Christian shows up.
Mine's not an exciting surprise, but I think it's going to be a surprise. I think Lars Sullivan comes back.
Okay.
I do. I think they put him in this. They may eliminate him very early, but I don't know. Let me think of a surprise I'd want to see.
Bringing back Lars, they never really had a good slot for him. And they haven't really had a good gimmick, so I bring him back if you want, sure, but, like, have something for him to do, I guess.
Yeah, I can't think of one that would, because they brought back so many guys before that I don't care who they bring back. Give me an NXT guy you think is going to come into this Rumble.
I'd love to see Walter in the Rumble.
Oh, I would too.
Yeah.
That'd be so great.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun.
I don't think he is, though, because of the international travel.
Sure, right, yeah, especially with the UK right now. The UK and US are, like, the two hardest countries to do transit from right now.
I would not be shocked if Pete Dunne is in the Rumble.
Pete Dunne,
sure. I would not be shocked if Finn Balor is in the Rumble.
Maybe all the Undisputed Era boys show up in the Rumble. Maybe that's, like, kind of their call-up.
Well, maybe Adam Cole.
Okay.
I don't know. Who's big in NXT? They might debut Damian Priest here.
Damian Priest would be good. Yeah.
I could see that. Maybe they give Karrion Kross a bit of a rub in the Rumble. Have him eliminate like five guys and then get thrown out by someone
if you're not gonna make him champion again on NXT, and I can kind of hear it either way on that. I get they sort of alluded to him having an encounter with Santos Escobar, but like, I mean, I also kind of think that's a bit of a dead end as well. I think they would be wise to call him up to the main roster.
Yeah. You can do that whole fall and prey gimmick and
yeah.
Look good for all the smoke and stuff. Yeah, so, you know, it's usually an enjoyable Rumble. I don't know if I'm going to watch this one live. I got to be honest with you. I want to hear about it, I think, this time. But who knows? You going to watch live?
It'll be on. It'll be on, and then I'll get bored, and then I'll go back and watch the rest of it later. I'm being dead honest with you. That is how I watch wrestling often.
Yeah, I'm not gonna have the energy to watch this entire show, like 4 or 5, because I'm not doing a pre-show or a post-show, so I don't have to. But anyways, that's gonna do it for us, kids. You can follow me at CrapGame13. You can follow the show at Shake Them Ropes. You can follow Chris at DWATG. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/ShakeThemRopes. Kind of dormant. We didn't get any suggestions or anything. Maybe Chris and I will talk stocks on there and bring you over to try and teach you all the ways of shorting and things like that, because this is what we talked about for a long time on the show. But,
yeah, no, Hawkins and I we're into stocks. We like stocks.
It's basically a tip jar for us because, you know, for editing and the troubles. It's $1 a month if you want to listen to our audio shows that we formerly recorded over there. And please listen to everything about Voices of Wrestling. Flagship. WrestleNomics is going to be phenomenal this week, probably. Everything Elite. If you like your wrestling more niche, we have Open the Voice Gate. And, of course, things like Music of the Mat with our buddy Andrew Rich over there and Joe Gagne's phenomenal 5-star match game. If you like wrestling trivia, I can't remember even names of people who are wrestling right now, so I can't do wrestling trivia. But Chris also has his own side vanity projects called Don't Worry About Government.
The vanity project is the music. It's the music that's for nobody that no one wants to hear ever and no one will buy. Don't Worry About the Government enjoys some listenership, and you can find that over at don'tworry.tv.
I didn't mean to imply it did. I'm sorry.
It's not entirely a navel-gazing project. We have fans. I swear. I know they exist.
You probably have more fans in my show at this point, so it doesn't matter.
And you can find that don'tworry.tv on iTunes, on Stitcher, and at patreon.com/DWATG. But please give us some suggestions for the Shake Them Ropes Patreon so that, like, you know, we can do it. Like, we do want people to sub up, but like, we want to also have additional content there. So if there's a thing that you'd like us to get down on, let us know. And we will do it.
And Bobo the Wonder Monkey says, buy Nokia.
Hold.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.